Lord, that I may see. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Canon, dear faithful. Before our Lord suffered for our redemption, he forewarned and told his apostles about what was soon to pass. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. The apostles were still blinded by worldly ideas and could not see the divine realities nor accept the cross. And they understood none of these things. And this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Later on, they come across a blind man who cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When asked what he wanted, he replied, "Lord, that I may see." How poetic is divine providence that the apostles, spiritually blind in their hearts, should witness the cure of a beggar, physically blind in his eyes. Let us, my dear faithful, not be blinded to the spiritual reality before us in Lent, the reality of penance. Let us cry out to our Savior, "Lord, that I may see. That I may see what you meant when you said, 'Unless you do penance, you shall perish.'" In a few days, Lent, the most important season of penance, begins. To enter well into the spirit of Lent, we should consider what its purpose is. Unlike the penitential season of Advent, which has us look to the future, the coming of Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, Lent has us look at the past, our sins, and the expiation we owe to divine justice. Its purpose is not self-improvement, or seeing how hardcore we can be, or trying something new. Lent's purpose is doing penance. And if previous generations observed it with greater severity than the present, it is because they better understood what sin and what penance are. Let us turn to one of those previous generations in the person of Pope Clement XIII, who wrote, "Penance for the Christian man is not satisfied by withdrawing from sin, by detesting a past life badly lived, or by the sacramental confession of these same sins. Rather, penance also demands that we satisfy divine justice with fasting, almsgiving, prayer, and the other works of the spiritual life. Every wrongdoing, be it large or small, is fittingly punished, either by the penitent or by God. Therefore, we cannot avoid God's punishment in any other way than by punishing ourselves." And also, he adds, but I paraphrase, "He who does penance is more firm in his resolution to sin no more." Basically, there are three reasons for us to do penance. First, if we do not do enough penance in this life for our past sins, we will have to do it in the next, in purgatory. Second, if we do not do penance for our confessed sins, we risk greatly to fall back into them and possibly perish eternally. And thirdly, penance helps us to remove the temporal punishment and attachment to sin, which dulls our love of God. Now, penance, to be useful, must be animated by charity, the love of God. As St. Paul says, "If I have all faith so as to move mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing." Charity, that supreme and glorious virtue, wants, desires, and tends toward union with God. The temporal punishment due for our past sins and the attachment to sin keeps us from that union with God. Penance is the means for removing both these obstacles, and therefore charity urges us to do penance. And we should prepare then well for Lent. But in thinking of those penances that we must take on in expiation for our sins, we must also, if it's to be truly animated by charity, consider that whatever we decide, well, it should not be showy. We don't broadcast it to the world. Why corrupt our good act by pride and make it worthless in the face of God? But instead, knowing that we're doing this because we have sinned, something that's shameful, well, then all the more to be not showy or broadcasting about what we are doing. The second is that our penance must be in accordance with our state of life. If we were to take on a penance that would inhibit us from doing well our duties, well, then actually becomes an occasion of sin for us. And so we don't want to be counterproductive in our penance. And finally, out of charity towards one's neighbor, we know that the penance we take on is for our sins that we committed. So not to do a penance that becomes a penance for everybody around us. I can think at the seminary, the superior says, every year I was there, all these things that would be good penances, and he said, one that is not a good penance is not to bathe. Because there, you're making other people do more penance than you yourself. And so that means out of charity, we must make sure that our penance is not causing problems for other people. And taking these three things in consideration, well, it leads us on the great path that truly what we do will be animated by the virtue of charity. Lent begins soon, my dear faithful. How ought we to observe it? What types of penances should be done? Well, besides the minimum requirement, which is very minimum, of fasting on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday and abstaining from meat on those same days and the Fridays of Lent, we should choose a penance suitable to the sins we must expiate. Pray to Christ, Lord, that I may see, and then ask yourself, are my sins from the concupiscence of the flesh, lust, sloth, gluttony? Then I shall fast, mortify my body by not seeking out comforts but discomforts, and strive to be diligent and prompt in doing my duties. Are my sins from the concupiscence of the eyes, greed? Then I shall give alms to my needy brothers. I will give my time for others. I will strive to share. Are my sins from the pride of life, arrogance, envy, anger? Then I shall pray, humbling myself before God, asking his blessing on those I envy, asking for patience and meekness. We should consider also what the great fathers of the church say about those important works that we do during Lent. So consider what St. Leo the Great says about the great penitential works. He says, for by prayer we seek to propitiate God. By fasting we extinguish the lust of the flesh. By alms we redeem our sins. And at the same time, God's image is throughout renewed in us. Because in prayer, faith remains steadfast. In fasting, life remains innocent. In almsgiving, the mind remains kind. And so, my dear faithful, think about what penance is and consider what sins you have committed, the penance that you owe to God, and then say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Grant me generosity of heart in repairing the damage I have done between me and thee by my sins against thee. Help me to persevere and bear good fruits of penance worthy of thy love. May I have before me always the words of thy great Saint Francis de Sales, who said, it is a true sign of love to deprive ourselves of something for the sake of the one we love. And then think, what will I give up for the love of God this Lent? Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.